Welcome to Your Latino USA. I'm Raquel Cepeda in for Maria Hinojosa. On today's show, we explore what it means to move, whether it's making the perilous trip across the Mexican border into the U.S., traveling as soul food, or what happens to a person when their movement is restricted. For me, the word move is tied up into my hyphenated identity as a Dominican American woman. I was born in Harlem and began living on and off in between my maternal grandparents' home in Santo Domingo, my parents' apartment here in New York City, and briefly in San Francisco. I was 8 years old when I came back to live with my father and stepmother in Inwood at the uppermost northern tip of Washington Heights in Manhattan. When I first moved here, I was seen as not being American enough to fit in with my peers. When I went back to the Dominican Republic, I was seen as a, quote, gringa and not being Dominican enough. Once, in 2008, I was told by a driver that he didn't want to let me out in the colonial zone, steps away from a school I attended as a child, and a couple of blocks from a street I once lived on with my birth mother. Pissed off and doing my best to hold my tongue, I opened the door the next time he stopped his hoopty to let a small crowd of locals cross the narrow cobblestone streets in this, the first melting pot in the New World. I spent the afternoon wandering around my old hood, feeling like a part of me belonged there. I used to find myself standing at the center of the hyphen that separates my Dominican self from my American self during my childhood and part of my adolescence. I now see the hyphen as a magical bridge, one where I am free to cross whenever I please and in any direction I choose. When I stopped sweating our society's obsession with checkboxes and labels, I found myself rethinking how I moved between both worlds. I now see the hyphen between myself as the thing that makes me whole and free to express myself in more circles than most. And for that, I give thanks. But for some people, the challenges are even greater. Each year, about 400,000 Central Americans migrate to the U.S. through Mexico. They face theft, extortion, kidnapping, and even death. About one-fifth of them are women. For them, the trip is even riskier. Rape is so common that smugglers sometimes require migrant women to take contraceptives before the trip. Maria Inés Zamudio reports on the dangers Central American women face on their journey to El Norte.
Elizabeth Tobias is sitting quietly near the train tracks about 20 miles north of Mexico City. She's a single mother from El Salvador, traveling to the U.S. border on top of a freight train called La Bestia, the Beast.
Not everyone dares to jump on top of this train.
Elizabeth is hungry. It's been more than 24 hours since she ate, and then it wasn't much. She can't remember the last time she had a full meal. But eating is the least of her worries.
Being on top of a train is really dangerous. And especially if you're a woman traveling with only men, it's something really risky. You're in danger of everything. I felt fear that I hadn't felt before. The first night was the most scared I had ever been.
Elizabeth, who's 32, has faced endless sexual harassment on her journey. It started the minute she crossed the border from Guatemala into Mexico. Her smuggler demanded to sleep with her.
I know that some people have sex with smugglers, but I paid him so that he would respect me, but he didn't. He treated me badly. I ended up sleeping in a park.
The smuggler took the $3,000 she paid him at the beginning of the trip and left her stranded in southern Mexico. She decided to go on anyway. Along the way, she picked up a job as a house cleaner. It was there that she was almost forced into prostitution.
Pues el don ya quería venderme.
The owner of the house wanted to sell me to other men. I heard him on the phone saying, I have the Salvadoran woman. Whoever wants to sleep with her has to pay me 200 pesos. I grabbed my things and I left. I told him, sir, I'm not a prostitute. I'm just a person that's looking for a better future.
Elizabeth is not alone. For thousands of women journeying north, sexual exploitation is an occupational hazard. About 6 in 10 Central American migrant women experience rape and other forms of sexual assault in Mexico, according to Amnesty International. Elizabeth has met Mexicans who've helped her, given her a meal or a place to stay for the night. But she can't understand why other Mexicans mistreat migrants. To her, it's hypocritical.
They complain when they get to the United States that there's abuse there. But they don't stop to think that they also abuse migrants that are passing through.
The Mexican government says it has taken steps to fix the problem. Reina Torres Mandavil is the head of the Department for Protection of Mexicans Abroad.
Evidentemente hay una conciencia de que tiene que haber consistencia entre lo que solicitamos.
There has to be a consistency in what we ask for in the treatment of our citizens in other countries and what we offer. There are working groups dealing with this topic because we see the intention this issue is getting abroad.
The problem came to head in 2010, when 72 Central American migrants were found massacred in a mass grave in the Mexican state of Tamaulipas. In 2011, the Mexican government enacted a new law aimed at reducing the risks Central Americans face while traveling through Mexico. Under the new law, immigration agents who abuse migrants face criminal penalties. The law also requires agents to undergo special training. Wendy Vogt, assistant professor of anthropology at Indiana Purdue University, says the law sounds good, but she questions how effective it will be.
In terms of translating it into on-the-ground implementation and real changes, I don't think that that's happened yet. And most of the human rights activists are very skeptical of the law as it stands now and have not witnessed great changes in people's everyday lives.
Elizabeth Tobias doesn't know about the reforms. But from her experience, the authorities only harass her.
Even police officers have made sexual advances or have asked me to have sex with them. They'll say, you're beautiful. What are you doing here? We'll give you a ride. Get in the patrol car. I just say no.
Central Americans keep migrating north despite the hazards for one simple reason. Work. Elizabeth can't support her children in her home country.
Believe me, my heart would hurt every time my children would tell me, Mom, I don't have shoes. And if I bought shoes for one, I couldn't buy shoes for the other.
She has no one to turn to. She doesn't have family members who can help her financially. The only help she's getting is from her children's grandmother, who's caring for them in El Salvador. But she's too old to work.
I've told them that I'm making this sacrifice for them. I want them to go to school so they don't have to suffer what I'm suffering.
After traveling for 2 months, Elizabeth says she's hopeful God will help her reach her final destination, San Francisco. Given the odds, it's impossible to say if she'll get there safely or if she'll get there at all. For Latino USA, I am Marines Zamudio in Mexico City.